I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
This is Audible. But not really. But John wants to talk about Audible, and this is our Just the Two of Us episode. So we're going to talk a little bit about audiobooks.
We are. Yeah, that is going to be our subject today. I have to admit, I really enjoy our Just the Two of Us because I actually will listen to, I always like listen to at least a little bit of every podcast that we do just to make sure like our audio is good and all the, you know, because every once in a while it's like, hey, my mic sounded weird that time, or Patrick sounded a little weird that time, or something.
You know, I found that I also now, not only occasionally, like I listen to our stuff a lot because I'm editing everything. I'm having to listen now to Beyond the Trope all the time. Like I was listening to them before, but now I have to listen to them because they keep mentioning me. They just did an interview with Merle Lafferty, and in the middle of their interview with Merle Lafferty, they're like, oh, and by the way, what impact have you had on Patrick Hester's life?
It's and like, she was what? Like, profound. I've had a profound impact on
– She told the sorry Patrick story with her daughter, that her daughter used to say that, and she used to say that. And then when I met her daughter at WorldCon, her daughter's like, who are you? What? I don't know you. Do I know you?
I got my annual, and I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this. I got my annual email from Murr, although Murr does contact me more than that. But I get this email at the end of October every year asking for permission to use the NaNoWriMo song for her podcast. And then I'll get another one in a couple weeks for using the Batman Smells song for her. I think her and her daughter do like this, like,
The princess, yeah.
Yeah, princess counting down. It's like almost like an advent calendar.
It's the advent calendar, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they use the Batman Smell song for that. And I'm just like, yes, of course you can use it. Thank you for playing it. It's funny. You know? But no, it's good. I have to say, even though I haven't recorded a lot of really any new songs, I've done some instrumental music, but it was not on purpose, but it is kind of nice that I have a lot of these sort of seasonal songs. Mm-hmm. So my songs end up being out there just because the NaNoWriMo song will come out around every year. I have a couple Christmas songs. I have a couple of Halloween-y kind of songs. So, you know, you'll hear me if you're in the nerd circles from time to time during this time of year for sure.
Well, it's just weird to someone had posted something on Facebook and I thought, oh, look, they're talking to Murr. And I think they had met her at WorldCon, and I may have facilitated that. I'm not sure because they were there and she was there and I was there, and I don't actually remember. It's become a blur at this point. So I thought, oh, I need to listen to that episode. And halfway through the episode, all of a sudden they just threw it out there, and I'm like, what? And apparently they've been doing that lately. They've been talking to people. Lawrence McNaughton, remember Lawrence that we had on the show?
Uh-huh.
I got him hooked up with them. And all of a sudden they start talking to him about me and breakfast burritos and stuff on the podcast. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. But anyway, it's always good that time of year. And it's nice to hear from Murr. Cause like Murr's kind of, I don't know. I mean,
Murr has a new book.
Yeah, I know. I did see that. And I should have mentioned it to her because I get the, I'm on the mailing list for, most of the
big
things, and so Orbit, I get.
I sound so excited, emails. Don't I? Yeah, me too.
No, I love getting the emails and stuff. And Orbit, I like the way that Orbit does it, and I kind of wish everybody did it this way. The way, if you're a reviewer or a podcaster that like us, and you're on the list for books, a lot of times you just get physical books sent no matter what. And that's great. I kind of like getting them because I probably wouldn't have asked for them, but I end up reading a lot of that stuff I would.
But it's a waste of money. It really is. It's you're right. Orbit does it a little bit. They're like, here's the list. What would you like to read?
Yeah. The way that I don't know if you get the same one that I do, but I basically get this email that says, just like you said, they give you, and if you use NetGalley, they're like, here's the links to all the e-arcs. So if you want any of those, go grab those. And if you want physical copies of any of them, just let me know and I'll send you. And that's great because then I don't get stuff that I don't want. They don't have to mail it out. Those books are expensive. Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that they're so willy-nilly about sending them out.
It's the old model. So the model is changing. It's just, it's a slow process, right? to get people to change, especially in publishing. But you're right, they are changing, and they're starting to get a little bit better about that. I only get a handful of books sent to me anymore, which is good because I just don't have the reviewers to read them, number one. And with everything going on in my life, I don't have time to read them. But I still promote them whenever I get them.
Yes. Yeah. I like getting them, but I've gotten kind of relentless about sorting through them. And my library here is really good about taking donations now. Mm-hmm. So if it's something that I get some stuff and I know there's no way I'm reading that for whatever reason, I just know it's not. Well, sometimes I get stuff that's sort of out of genre that is, you know, maybe kind of YA or something like that. That's just not, I just know it's like that. Or I get like book four or book 12 in a series that I've never read, and I don't have the first 11 books. And I'm like, I'm probably not going to read that one either, unless it's something that I've been interested in. So like that kind of stuff, I just usually go and donate to the library. And I feel good about that because I just feel like, hey, you know, it's someone's going to read this then. And someone maybe turned on to this author. So I feel good about that. So I'm cool with that. But and Ace Rock, I think you have to fill out a form to get stuff sent. So they make you go through a little bit of a process so that you just get the stuff that you want. And, you know, and I look at their list and sometimes I don't want anything and sometimes I want one.
So just from the standpoint of a publicist, let's put ourselves in the publicist's shoes for a second. So while that works great for you, that means that books that they really want people to read and review and like might not be getting picked up because it's not what you want to read. So how do you suggest that publicist gets you, John, to read that new book?
If it's something that maybe I wouldn't have read otherwise, like if I wouldn't have asked for, do you mean?
Yeah.
That's a good question. And I'll say this. I have a pretty good relationship with a lot of the publicists at this point. And quite honestly, in terms of getting people on the show, and this is what I say to people who either whether it's publicists or, you know, authors who are asking to be on the show themselves, I try to be as accommodating as possible. And we try to get as diverse a group of people on here as possible. But I also mentioned, like, look, we do a show once a week. And we usually do it just the two of us in there too. So that means it's three guests a month. With the amount of books that come out, we unfortunately cannot get everybody on that kind of, you know, maybe would like to be on the show. But I will say, a couple of the publicists that I work with that contact me, there's, you know, in terms of the kinds of books, I might not even read the book or even be that interested in reading the book. But if it's kind of within the wheelhouse of science fiction or fantasy of some kind, I'm usually interested, generally speaking,
but do you see the challenge here, John?
And
so when they used to send everything out, there was a greater chance, I believe, that when you had that physical book in your hand, that it would appeal to you because you might like the cover, or you might like something that's written on the back or on the inside flap, or you might flip through it and something catches your eye. None of that's going to happen electronically.
Absolutely not. And over the past couple years, I've read a lot of books that I would not have requested. But because I have the physical copy sitting here and it's staring me in the face and I look at it and it's like, oh, hey, Chuck Wendig blurbed this. Let me look at that. Or, you know, whoever. Or it's just like the, you know, as you're kind of leafing through it, maybe you read the first paragraph, you're like, that seems pretty good. Like, I'm going to go with this one. So you're right. And I don't know how, if they are making that transition to not sending books out, I don't know how they make that better. I mean, In terms of getting people on the show, I just have a couple. There's a bunch of publicists that I have good relationships with that will reach out to me. Like, it's not just the here's my list of bloggers and podcasters and book reviewers that I'm just sending the blanket. I'm promoting this book. With a lot of publicists at this point, my name is on it. They know that I'm, you know, with the Functional Nerds podcast, they mention it by name. Yeah, they know it's a podcast, you know, and they're just like, hey, I think this person would be a good guest. So to me, if they write that, that improves like the likelihood of them being on the show dramatically, because that means they thought about it a little bit. And usually they're right. you know, they are a good guest because it's somebody that could talk pretty good, that has, you know, interests that are relevant to us and our listeners. So just taking that step of reaching out personally, and I don't look, we're a podcast, you know, whatever good things we have. I realize we're not, you know, the be all end all in terms of like helping people sell their books. We have our niche, and that's good. And I'm sure it does help sell a couple books, but I'm not saying they should or have to. And we get lots of people on the show that do not get me approaching that way. Sometimes I get those blanket emails and the book looks so good or the person looks so interesting that I then reach out to the publisher and be like, hey, yeah, we'd like to get this person on. Or if it's someone big, you know, like, you know, we get the Brandon Sanderson email or someone like that. It's like, oh yeah. Yeah.
Have you noticed that the on. Brandon Sanderson emails are like 200,000 words?
Yes. I like his books. but you know, that actually is a very good transition to what was going to be our topic. We pick these topics for just the two of us, and we're like, oh yeah, maybe we should talk about that because Patrick and I get to kind of.
And I love all the prep we do.
Yes, it's great. It's wonderful. But I think that's why people like just the two of us part of it. But we were going to talk about audiobooks, and I love
audiobooks.
I know. And anytime we talk about books, we usually bring up audiobooks. I know that is. You do, the reading that you do, the actual like physical reading that you do is mostly for your reading group. So I know you're reading a lot of, so any of your reading time in that regard is towards that, you know, towards your reading group.
Right.
So I know, yeah, your writing group, I should say, sorry. And so I know besides that, all of your reading is through audiobooks and
Kirkus too. So.
Kirkus too. Yeah. And I would say about at this point, maybe about a third of my reading is through audiobooks. And I hadn't gotten an Audible subscription because I had a lot of audiobooks that I've purchased because they were the, you know, the WhisperSync. Sure. And if you've already bought the ebook, then the WhisperSync is anywhere from $2 to $12. So obviously the ones that were lower, I would just automatically go and buy that. If it was under $5, I would just automatically go and buy it. If it was a little more, I might be a little more hesitant to go and buy it. But what I noticed, and I also listen to a lot of audiobooks via the library, and I've talked about the library app, and I'm sure most people, if you know, with your public library, there's a very good chance that you can take out ebooks and audiobooks through your library. You just might have to go to the library website or ask. It's not that hard. You get an app, and it's good. I listened to, because I had it there, after I listened to a bunch of stuff from the library, and I wasn't. The downside of the library ebooks and particularly the audiobooks is that it's a very limited selection.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get you get what they have. And there's a lot, but it's not everything. And Audible is pretty, if an audiobook exists for it, Audible will most likely have it.
And that's not always a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of the old ones are bad.
I bet. But I had The Lies of Locke Lamora, the Scott Lynch book. And that's a big book, a long book. I think it's like 22 hours or 23 hours or something like that. And when I went to listen to that, I noticed in my library app had, you can listen to it at a faster speed, but it wasn't 2x speed. It was probably like 1.25 or something. And the Audible app, you can do it like, I think up to 3x speed or something like that, something crazy.
Which
but
Gennardo
I listen to,
does, and I don't like that.
I can't go. I right now, the last four or five books I've listened at double speed, 2x speed. And I know that's too fast for most people. Yeah. Now that has worked for me so far, but I realize there are probably going to be narrators, readers, voice actors, however you want to call them, that if they read at a quicker pace, 2x speed is going to be too fast. You're not even going to be able to pick it up. All the ones I've listened to so far recently have worked at 2x speed. And that was great for the Scott Lynch book because it's such a long book. So instead of it being 22 hours, it was 11 hours it took me to get through. So I finished a pretty thick book in like 2 weeks or even less. So I wanted to have that control over it. And I realized, speaking of Brandon Sanderson, that there is a bunch. I've read a lot of his stuff, but I read the first Mistborn book and I haven't read the other two books in that initial trilogy. And I really wanted to, and the library didn't have them as audiobooks, and I don't have physical copies and I don't have eBooks. And I just realized, like, you know what? I'm going to do Audible and I'm going to get the second book in that series. It's a 20, I think it's a 30 hour book. that sounds about right for Brandon Sanderson. And I've been listening to it at 2x speed. And I love Brandon Sanderson so much. And I'm just like plowing through that book. In like a week and a half's time, I'm almost done with it. Like a 30 hour book, you know? And so to me, now that has made Audible worth it, because now it's like, oh, there's all these big, long fantasy books that I'm hesitant to go. Like, I've read book one in the series and I really want to get, you know, get through it. But it's like, I don't want to take the books out of the library because I got a million physical books here already. I don't necessarily want to buy the ebook. Ebooks are fine. And I read a lot of ebooks too. But again, 10 bucks on the book or whatever. And, you know, I have a million books and a million ebooks sitting on my Kindle. I don't necessarily need to do it. But the audiobook, especially if it's at Audible where you have the credit, yeah, that's where I want to put my focus. Now, right now, I'm just doing the, I guess it's the gold membership where you get one book a month, one credit a month.
Yep.
So that's like $14.99 a month, I believe. And so my plan is to do that, and I'll probably get through them quicker than in a month, but I still have this big backlog of ones that I can purchase for like $5 because I already have their ebook. And like I said, the library has a bunch too. So in the weeks that I've already used up my credit, my plan is to go to the ones I already own, plus go to the library as well.
So I did the same thing as far as getting the one credit a month account at Audible, which I still have. But what happened to me was my listening was so fragmented that it took me several months to listen to a single book. So suddenly I had built up three credits. And then I started getting into James S.A. Corey. So I had the credits. I was able to get Leviathan Wakes and then get the next book and get the next book. And then by the time that book had ended, I had another credit available. I could get the fourth book and so on and so forth. But then I started running out of credits because I started catching up. And I'm sitting there going, damn it, I have to wait. And so I would wait and my credit would come. And then I was like, yay, and I'd get the next book. And then what started happening was Audible would pop up with this little thing in the corner that says, you know, get three credits now on sale. And I would click that and it'd be, you know, save 36% if you buy three credits right now. Boom. It's so easy. It's like $30 and you're done. And then I would suddenly have three extra credits that I'd burn through those.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure I ended up doing that too. Yeah.
And then they started doing things like, pick three books to start new series. So you can get the first book in a series and you can get three of them for like $15. So yeah. Three books for $15, they all start a series. I did that. So I got Nightwise, Just One Damn Thing After Another, and I forget what the third book was. But they were all starts of a series. But they were all on sale. And so now Audible sends me all kinds of shit, essentially, and says, you know, hey, they're like, hey, this guy is actually buying stuff. So let's send him some deals. And so I'm getting all these deals from Audible now. And it's like, you know, buy one, get one free on another one on a series. It was if you bought two books in the series, the second one was free. So I finally broke down and got the Bujold books on Miles Vorkosigan. I don't know if you've read any of those.
Right. I'm familiar with the series. It's a very highly regarded series.
So I got chronologically, they've kind of put them in order. This was his first book where he washes out of the academy because he breaks both his legs on the when he's trying to do the obstacle course because he has brittle bones. And I got that one and the one after that. And now I've been burning through those. So I've just been getting more and more of those books and just listening to those. A lot of times, though, John, it depends on the narrator. If the narrator is not good, like if something about the narration just does not register with me, I won't read the book or listen to the book. The other thing is, if the narrator is really, really good, even if I don't like the book, I'll still listen. So Nightwise is an interesting book. It's not something like we were talking about earlier. It's not something that I would read normally. Like if I picked that book up and started reading it, I would put it down and probably walk away because it has so much. It's just very dirty. Yeah, Nightwise. That's the book you have to cover. Have you read that?
No, it's what I'm interested in. It's kind of like urban fantasy.
It's urban fantasy. He's from Virginia.
Okay.
So he's Southern.
Mm-hmm.
But it's remember Jeff Patterson used to talk about how Torchwood, he didn't like Torchwood because it was just about putting the characters through the grinder.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like that's what Nightwise does. Nightwise, but here's why I continued to read it or listen to it. Bronson Pinchot is the narrator.
Balky.
But he does not sound anything like Balky.
Well, no, I always knew that was like a character.
He has this very deep voice and timbre, and he's doing these Southern accents, and he's really, really good. And so I was kept listening to it for the experience of listening to him read me a book. The book itself to me has so much violence and just torture against the characters, really, mm-hmm. that it was very rough to get through that book for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just on the content of it. That does not take away the fact that it's a very well-written book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very well-thought-out book. You can tell that this author knows what they're doing and has a good craft, and they have plotted this book out really well. They've written good characters. They've written this story that's very dense. To me personally, it's the constant violence and struggle that made me... It's like why I don't watch The Walking Dead. I don't need to see that kind of torture porn, really. And there's so much violence and just stuff going on in this book that to me, it's not something I would normally read. But I kept listening because of Bronson Pinchot.
Yeah. Last weekend, I went to go see Doctor Strange with a friend.
I still haven't seen it.
It was good. I liked it. We went out to grab a bite to eat when we were done, and we were talking about audiobooks because he likes a lot of the same stuff that we do. And he had said the same thing that you did about certain narrators of the books, certain voice actors. Really, it's more voice acting.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah,
depends on how you know they approach it. But generally speaking, those are the really good ones. And he was saying, "It's like, yeah, I follow the narrators as much, mm-hmm. the voice actors as much as I follow the books." He's like, "Yes, same thing that you just said." He's like, "There's books that I probably would never have read that I don't even know if the books are that good, but I like them so much that I could just keep listening to them tell a story." And it's a much better way to do it. And he did bring up the thing that you brought up with the James S. A. Corey books, because we were going through our lists of books, because I have a bunch in my Audible account because
it's Jefferson Maze.
That's the good one. Okay. Yeah. Cause that's what he's like, yeah. So he was talking about the book. So one of the things you can do with Audible is you can get a free book from a friend.
You can also get your first month, your first credit is free.
Right. Yeah. So the Well of Ascension, the Brandon Sanderson book I'm reading now, I'm reading for free because it's my first one. Anyway, you know, he was like, "Oh, you know what? I've never gotten a gift from somebody. And have you?" And I'm like, "No." He's like, "Well, let's go through each other's list and we'll give each other books right now." And I'm like, "All right." So I gave him The Well of Ascension because he likes Brandon Sanderson. And I'm like, "You're going to have to buy the first book." He's like, "Yeah, that's fine. But I'll have the second book ready to go then." And I'm like, "Oh, you know, I've read the first two James S. I. Corey books, but I haven't gotten the third yet." So he's like, "Oh, okay, cool." He's like, "What is the third one?" I'm like, and I was going through, and it's Abaddon's Gate we ended up figuring out. He's like, "Is that the one that sucks?" He's like, "One of them sucks." And I'm like, "Oh yeah." I'm like, "The guy I did the podcast with, he said it too." He's like, "Cause it was a different voice actor." He's like, "Yeah." Cause it's like, it's Jefferson Maze. And then all of a sudden it's not.
Yeah.
And then people lost their shit that it wasn't Jefferson Maze. So they got him back for the next one. But it's so funny because it affected him so deeply.
It's and jarring.
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't read all the books yet, and I would like to, and I don't know if I'm going to do them all in audio, but to him, that book wasn't as good. He even just said like, "Oh, that, I don't know, for whatever reason," like James S. A. Corey, he knows that it's, you know, Daniel Abraham and Ty Frey, he knows that it's two people, but he's like, "Yeah, they just dropped the ball on that one." I'm like, "Well, is the book that bad, or was it just that the
the same thing?"
Like, "Nah," he's like, "the story wasn't as good." That's what he said.
The same thing happened to Jim Butcher.
Okay.
Because Spike from Buffy,
right?
mm-hmm. reads the Jim Butcher books, the Dresden Files books. And there was one that he couldn't do. So they brought in someone else to read that book. And people hate that book.
Right.
And so they actually brought him back and had him re-record. They actually re-recorded that book with him doing it.
I'm not surprised, because I've listened to the first two books in the Dresden series with Spike reading them, and I really like those. And that's my one that I know I'm going to end up finishing that series or getting pretty far into it, because I've mentioned on the podcast before, like a couple years ago, just that was the Kindle Daily deal, where it's like the first seven Dresden books were like $2 each. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what? I've been interested in that series. I'm just going to buy all of them. I spent $14 on seven books, and not all of them, but I think the first five, then for like $4, you could then get the audiobook too. And that's how I've ended up listening to the first two books. So when I'm done with my book at Audible, I will probably just buy whatever the next Dresden book is on audio and listen to that. Cause they're usually about, well, I think they get longer as you go, but I know the first bunch are about 10 hours.
So one of the things that, that I like about Amazon and Audible, I know that a lot of people, especially writers, are very upset with Amazon. They see Amazon as the evil empire kind of thing. And I get those feelings, but it's you know, I look at the reality of things. Amazon is here to stay, and this is where you go to get these things. One of the things that they do is they have a family account, which I enjoy, because you can essentially you can set it up, and you both have to be there and do this together, but two adults can share content. So you can share all of your audiobooks and ebooks with one other adult, and you create a family on Amazon. Mm-hmm. You can also share with children. So you can create children accounts.
Okay.
And then those kids, you can also set what they can do and what they can't do. So for example, you can set it so that they can access content, but they can't buy anything.
Right. Right. Right.
And so I set up a family account, and I'm sharing all of my audiobooks with mom. And because she is at the point where she can't really read. She starts to lose words, and she starts to forget. Her short-term memory is not great. And so she struggles to read anything, even like a magazine article, because she starts to forget the beginning of the article. So she can't visually read something. So giving her an audiobook is a great alternative. She can sit there and listen to an audiobook and still be immersed in it. And for whatever reason, the audio part of it works. You know, so it's a visual thing for her, like she can't follow. So I've got close to 70, 80 audiobooks in my library at this point. So she's able to, you know, pick and choose the ones that she wants to listen to. And I got her an HD Fire Tablet 8, to the new one, and set that up. And oh my goodness, is that just a wonderful learning curve training experience to have. I say that sarcastically, but
how is that, you know, piece of tech for you? I know.
For me, I thought it was, so it's not a productivity tablet. You're not going to write your book on it. You're not going to edit your podcast. You're not going to do the things like that. You're not going to do spreadsheets and shit. That is not what it's for. It's
a consumption device, not a,
yes, it's to deliver to you entertainment. And right. As that, I think it's great.
Okay.
As long as you keep that in mind. It's not a replacement for an iPad by any means.
Yeah.
But it comes, it's preloaded with all of your information.
Okay.
So you don't have to do squat except turn it on and charge it, or charge it and turn it on, depending. Like when I got it, it had a 68% charge. So it was ready to go. I could turn it on, and I was able to immediately like click Audible, and there's all my books. And my account was already set up on it. Everything was good to go. It asked me if I wanted to set up any other accounts. And I thought, why? It's already got my account on there. I don't have to do squat. So I just went and I started downloading games for her too, to kind of get her to do stuff. And she sat there for 2.5 hours playing Candy Crush.
Nice.
No. about 15 minutes in, I said, hey, let me see that for a second. Oh, yep, here. Oh, sorry, turned off all the sound. Here you go. You can have it back now.
Yeah. if I may ask,
I was tired of it.
How much does that device?
90 bucks was the one I got.
That's because we have an iPad 2 that we bought like over 3 years ago. And I don't really use it. I would. My son uses it. And, you know, for games and YouTube and all that kind of stuff. And it's good. And I think when we bought it, it was like 500 bucks or something like that. And,
but this has it's not the entire Android market. It's a customized Android device. Right. So, but they have things that you can grab from the Android market.
Right.
So you don't have the full Android market, but you have a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, just because my son has been using that iPad a lot lately. We've kind of transitioned some things from the computer to the iPad, mostly so we can keep him off of the internet. We can control it better. So that could be another whole discussion for what we've done there that may be relevant to some people. But so he does most things on the iPad now. And, you know, he's dropped it a bunch in the past couple of weeks and it's fine and it's old anyway, but like what is the surprising thing with the iPad? And we've been doing it for years because sometimes if you do drop it, the screen gets all like, it looks like it's broken. It's like, well, need to get a new tablet. And the first time I look for like how to fix it, if the screen starts looking like this, you know, it's even in the Apple forums. It's like, well, just take it and like whack it really hard against like your hip. And Patrick, I tell you, that works. Every couple of weeks I do that.
Do you remember the Mighty Mouse?
Yes.
So the Mighty Mouse was the first Apple mouse that had the little nib scroller on it. Mm-hmm. And that little nib scroller collected skin and dirt and dust and would stop working. And literally on the Apple forums and the knowledge base, to clean that nib, rub it up and down your pant leg when you're wearing blue jeans. That was the advice they gave you. So you would just sit there and just run that down your jeans, and you had to hear that little as you're, you know, zipping that sucker down your jeans to clean that little nib off.
Yeah, it's amazing sometimes the ways that to fix these devices that work. That's the funny thing is that it works. I mean, and sometimes you got to whack it hard, like really hard against your leg, like where you're getting pain. But it's like, I guess something just gets loose. And then if you whack it just right, it like puts it back into place. Well,
the other cool kind of wow factor for getting this for mom, I was able to get it in magenta, which is as close to purple as I could get. Okay. And mom's favorite color is purple. And she saw that, and I got the case and everything with it, the hard case to go on it to protect it, and it was also purple. And she just lit up. She thought that was the coolest thing ever. So, you know, being able to get that in that color, and she's – today, as we're recording this, after recording is when I'm going to sit down with her because I really haven't had a lot of time to sit down and show her stuff. And so she's been very, very frustrated with it. I have found it to be ridiculously easy to use. She's struggling with the swiping and the touching of the screen, and she's very hesitant to touch it. And so I need to show her that she can actually, you know, it's less delicate than she thinks it is.
Yeah, I think that's what people need to realize about this stuff. But all right, anyway, everybody, our time is up, unfortunately. Thank you if you're listening to this. If you're one of our backers already, thanks so much. And I hope you've been enjoying these just the two of us. This will probably make it into the regular feed at some point. So if you're a person who's listening to it in the regular feed and you are not one of our backers on Patreon and you'd like to back us, consider going over to patreon.com/functionalnerds and kicking us $1 a month or more, or perhaps whatever value you get out of the show. You know, consider becoming one of our backers. It helps out a lot, and we thank all the people that are already backing us, and thanks. Patrick, anything else you want to say before we go?
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
I figured I wouldn't say anything. That'd be a really good way to end. So and cut it. All right, everybody, have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Mo. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition. Thank you.
still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.